the theme of Yichud, the purpose of the world being the revelation of Hashem's unity. Now, as we were discussing yesterday, so the Ramchal in Das Tvunos, his book where he writes primarily about this concept of Yichud Hashem, says that this is the, capital T, purpose of creation, is revealing Yichud Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates all the details of creation, the temptations, the darkness, the happenings of history and destiny, all to revolve around giving humans the ability to reveal or chulila to conceal. That's what it all revolves. That's the cog upon which it all revolves. Now, and he actually uses that term, that is the tzir. A tzir is a hinge upon which all of our avoda revolves, bringing us to a greater recognition. The people who live in greater light and greater exposure to this concept are the ones who have greater clarity. People who don't see the Yichud Hashem are the people who live in greater confusion and darkness. And what's fascinating about what he says is that really we are the ones who control what we call in photography the aperture. We control the amount of light that comes in. We are the ones who control how much clarity we have. And it's this איך קוראים את זה בעברית? Called the vicious cycle. Meaning the more we err, the greater darkness we create, the more confusion we create, the harder it is to overcome. The more light we let in, the more revelation we create in this area, the easier it is for us because we have greater clarity into this concept. Now, he says that generally, obviously, we're not evil people, so we create rationalizations. We say, I just want to do this just temporarily. I don't want to alter my view of God's unity in the world. I just want to eat or do or have whatever it is that I want, and then I want to go right back to my madrigal. Well, it doesn't work that way, because we create this illusion of reality. That's what happens. When we err, we make the clouds look real. Now, we must also understand, based upon this, the purpose of evil and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains it. And that is that the Hashem makes it look as if the power of Rav, evil, has some energy on its own. Now, this is a very critical component because it helps us understand that you find this a lot in the Sefer Chassidus, especially in the first generation of the Talmid Baal Shem, about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains darkness, and that everything in darkness has a spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that creates it and sustains it and so on. It's always confusing as to why would he possibly want to do that, right? So here he explains it Gewaldic. He says like this. Again, this is the Das Tfuna speaking, Ramchal speaking. That the reason Hashem creates the illusion of evil is because the contrast, the surprise element, the machai nefushis that's going to take place when HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves the curtain and we get to see what's behind it. That revelation and its beauty and shine and its shock value to the world will be commensurate with the amount of concealment that exists ahead of time. So if you see them setting up the set of the play and you see everything going into place, it's not nearly as geschmack as when they open a curtain and all of a sudden, wow, in the last 3 minutes, look what they've been able to do with the backdrops and the costumes and the furniture and all the props that they put in, right? So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is going to give that big blues, that big blow, and blow away the koyches hara, then that revelation that will take place is going to be so great. Now, for what? For whom? Point is, it's for us. Meaning, every contribution we made in ethical and moral choice, we contributed to that revelation. And we receive reward for the revelation that we created. Every time we say a bracha on a piece of chocolate, or but more importantly, on a potato chip. So we are the ones who created the revelation, ultimately, that all those little pieces of revelation are the ones that ultimately bring about the great revelation in the time to come.
I got a problem.
That is shocking. Yeah.
It loved you. It's like a Rube Goldberg mission.
Everything is Goldberg. Wie me geit, wie me steit. Is this Goldberg? No.
So, Hashem's making this system. He makes these people. And he makes them in a way that instead of being able to just recognize the greatness, they have to first see.
Okay, okay, go. Wait. He gets to it. Wait, give him a chance.
Skip that whole...
Okay, then because then there's no bechira, there's no chance for reward and punishment. Wait a second. But in the next piece, Imamish explains this bidiyuk with great clarity. So now,
it's like a trip around the block for nothing.
It's a trip around the block for something. We'll see in a second. So here are again. He quotes, "Mimenu nimshach tielis la'adam atzmei." From here stems the tremendous purpose to man himself, because in him is dependent all of the merits and the destinations of service. The fact is that evil itself, this is mamash straight out of the teachings of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that evil itself is not interested in being victorious. It wants to be vanquished. Because it too is an Eved Hashem. It too ultimately is serving the purpose of its creator. It's creating the smoke and mirrors so that we will overcome it. Right? And by doing so, we choose to rectify the world. So now, in light of this, we understand every form of temptation and free choice. Every choice boils down to revelation or concealment. Every single ethical, moral choice comes down to, am I going to reveal? Am I going to conceal? That's the cog. That is the center of every ethical, moral choice we have.
It does. So, one of the meditations I've had for years is simple. Where does moral choice leave off? When I decide to take a left or a right on a street,
it's moral. Depends if there's an old lady crossing that particular street and you're going to run her over.
If the guidance behind what it is that I'm doing could simply be I'm going to get to do a mitzvah faster. And not even knowing, not even thinking, I'm just going to take the quickest route. And we think we're not making a choice morally. We're not even concerned about a moral background or backdrop to that. So is there really a moment in which we're not somehow guided by that?
Well, you just used the magic word, and that is guided. When it comes to a direct ethical and moral choice, we're going to talk about that. He's going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his tzivui of what we need to do. At that moment, if there is an ethical choice, and he's very careful in the words he uses, because Be'emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls that as well. But Hashem chooses to allow humans to choose.
So, whereas
by the other choices, he leads us.
So your concept of revelation, from which we are going to do our part to reveal or conceal, also depends on our own ability or perception of the revelations we've experienced. In other words, the more we know, the more we understand what's been revealed, the more we're able to reveal. Does that make sense? Is there a...
Are you saying that greater people have a greater power of revelation.
I didn't want to use those terms because it makes people, I'd be embarrassed to say that I was a greater person, but the fact is if one's concentrated on the presence of Hashem every moment of their life.
Okay, well, again, you're skipping to the next piece. Stop it. Okay, now, so here we go. You want to cheat? So go cheat. I can't help you.
You could be in a scenario where Hashem is putting stumbling blocks in front of you the whole time. You have to deliver a package that's
if it's
by the beach, right? So you're within a block of the beach, and there's all these immodestly clad women in the middle of summer wandering around, and no matter which way you look, you're going to see one. And you can't look down because you have to see the road. You're driving.
Why are you there?
To deliver a package.
Why are you there?
Because you work for a delivery company, and you have to deliver a package.
Ask a shayla. Who says you're allowed to? There may be a
boss, I'm not going to deliver over there, I'm sorry.
There may be a halacha of Yari Bal Yavar. It's like a person who needs to go into a situation of mixed dancing where, you know, if you're a dance teacher, get a different job.
Okay. Don't work in Florida.
that is one of the big shaylas, so living in a place like that. Okay. That is one of the big advantages of living.
That's why they went to Eastern Europe. Cold.
Yeah, the Jews live in bad.
Cold and ugly. Okay. Now, continues Ramchal. This is really talk about revealing. Adam HaRishon, before the Chait, says Ramchal, saw evil. You hear? He saw evil. He saw the tree. He knew that Hashem assered the tree. Okay? Clear as day. Nonetheless, his eyes, there had to be a trick, an illusion even at that point. And the illusion there was that, wow, that looks attractive. And there could be very good outcomes for humanity if I choose to eat of the Eitz Hadas. Whatever the cheshbon was, you want to use the Baltanya's cheshbon that he was going to make the choice more challenging and therefore the reward greater, whatever it is, that choice was delusional. That choice was the Yetzirah tricking him into thinking that there could be benefit from choosing Ra. Okay? That too, on that exalted, awesome level, was a choice of revelation or concealment. Because what do you mean? He puts it into such great terms. The thought, and this is so critical because we do this all the time. We rationalize that something good will come of something wrong. And Adam HaRishon rationalized that something good could come out of my violating Hashem's direct command. It was profound, it was Kabbalistic, it was awesome, it was deep, it was profound, it was all those things, and wrong. It doesn't, the two are not mutually exclusive. Inclusive. So what we see is that even Adam HaRishon was able to make a mistake like that, how much more so us idiots, as my grandmother would say. She had a resh in the middle of, instead of a dalid, in the word idiot, she had a resh. It was an idiot. So how much more so we, where our power of rationalization is totally out of control, that we can justify in our twisted minds the factual issue of revelation equals God's command, concealment equals violating God's command. Now, at that time, however, wait a second, because you go back to Adam HaRishon. At that time, evil was external to man. It was an outside influence. Okay? It was the Nachash. And evil existed at that point in the form of falsehood and truth. The Nachash knew that if he can rationalize Adam HaRishon to make the error, to make the choice, that he brings it internally, and then choice becomes that much more confusing.
It's not free choice, though, if one is heavily weighted and the other is not, in the moment.
That's true. The problem I'm having. It's not a free choice.
Well, again, if you're absolutely right, it's not absolutely equal. Free choice does not mean equal choice. And certainly at that moment there was equal choice. But since that moment, and every time we make stupid choices, we make the logic and the pursuit of pleasure and appetite and wrong much, much more enticing than the choices of good. And that's why we're left in such a far-fetched a place where it makes the pursuit of ruchnias look so much more difficult, because we have altered the pie chart. We have altered the pie chart. And then we took the guy and blame him. It's the classic case of the kid who kills his parents and then pleads for mercy because he's an orphan. Right?
But even...
Let me just finish this one. No. No. There was absolute free choice. That's what they're saying.
They were both evil?
No, quite the contrary. The reason he did it is because he felt there wasn't free choice, because good was overwhelmingly convincing. And he said, that's not free choice. I want to make it a better battle. I want to make it more challenging. I want to put my kid on an obstacle course where the pitcher was throwing the ball 90 miles per hour, not 40 miles per hour.
Real bullet.
Whatever it was, right? Not rubber bullets. Okay. Is Azoy. Amnam, he says Ramchal, Adam Rishon was an incredibly wise man. And he had the intellectual capacity to really think this through in a deeper way. And he knew in his awesome Chachma that everything he sees about truth is truth, and anything else is sheker, is falsehood. Nonetheless, he allowed himself to be convinced that if the situation would be changed, and instead of truth and falsehood, that it would appear to a person to be good and evil, that would increase reward. And in fact, it did increase reward, because our challenges are that much more challenging. But that wasn't the will of Hashem. And therefore, he suffered the consequence of what he did. Now, had he made the right choices, and he would have stood by that, then the Yichud of Hashem would have become absolutely, unquestionably evident. He would have entered Shabbos that way. Shabbos, by the way, there is, for all of us, a greater revelation of Achdus Hashem, of Hashem's unity, and it's easier, if we want to pursue it, to access that light.
Would it have been possible for Adam and Rishon to ask Hashem, what would happen if I ate from this tree?
Hashem told him, you didn't have to ask.
Told him, you'll die.
He told him explicitly, on that day you'll know good and evil.
You'll know good and evil.
Yeah, and he told him, you'll die, you'll bring death into the world. He knew full clarity, walking into it, what he was getting into.
And this all happened in a matter of 12 hours.
No, more like 3. From creation till the story unfolded. I wonder, we're looking for the movie.
The
movie rights. It was building Stenders. Now,
yeah, half a day left.
Here's another. Here's another really tragic reality that we brought into existence with this, and this is very close to home and very uncomfortable to discuss. Clarity in Achdus Hashem dictates a recognition that everything that's happening around us, everything that's happening with us, is only happening by the hand of Hashem. Okay? What we know, that one of the results of Adam's chet is b'zeis hapecha teichel lechem, by the sweat of your brow are you going to eat bread. What does that mean? What is that? Why is that a midah k'neged midah? Why is that a fair consequence to what he did?
Because all the food,
listen very carefully. So listen on a deep way. Adam, you want control. You want to perceive like you are the orchestrator. You want to perceive that it is your Nisayon and so on. I'm going to give you a world that's going to look at every level like you are the one who is making the difference. That the earth will produce based upon the amount of industry you put into it. That's going to be part of the illusionary world that you just brought into existence. So Bizeis Apecha Techa Lechem is a direct consequence of, oh really, Adam, you want control? Here. Nadir, as my grandmother used to say. Take control. Take a world where it's going to be perceived that you will eat what you produce. And
we really do have to make our own dirt.
But it's much, right. It's he says the man becomes so megushim, man becomes so physicalized that it takes him so much more effort, and it looks like he is the one who is the producer. The more he invests, the more he gets. And like we ask Hashem for a smile. Can you please bless the work of my hands? Whereas in truth, it is Hashem who is doing, and we should be giving him a bracha of offering him success in his hands. One second, let me just finish the thought. So many times, therefore, it looks that people who play around and do unethical and immoral things because it's their industry, they outsmarted the system, they stole from somebody else, they infringed on somebody else's business or whatever, and look at that, they succeed. Because it's all them. Whereas a person who really gets the concept of Yichud recognizes that all the work and the toil and the industry and the chachmas that he's going to do are not the ones who are bringing about the success. That's part of God's decree. Okay, that we got to do what we got to do, but that is not that which is bringing about the success. That is perhaps in our times the most difficult illusion that Adam brought into existence. Is the illusion of, by the amount of your work shall you bring in your success. Success is not a direct result of the work. The success of wicked people is illusionary. Hashem did it, clearly. There he got a lot of money in the bank. But that could be in order to pay them their reward in this world, so he doesn't have to deal with them in the world to come. It could be that Hashem is lifting them up to the height so that when they crash later, it really hurts, and so on and so forth. Ultimately, again, going back to the fact that ultimately everything will lead to a greater revelation of Hashem's presence. Somehow, that success that the brutal, tyrannic leaders of whatever are succeeding in ultimately is going to lead to a greater revelation of Hashem's presence in the world. See, he says like this, a hafadika thing. Remember yesterday we discussed that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, just like Adam went out bedimus, he went out with a kind judgment on Rosh Hashanah, you guys can also. It's a kind judgment. He was thrown out of Gan Eden. What kind of kind judgment? So he says, and the Matnas Kahuna interpreted that those words in the Medrash, meaning that man went out with a judgment of chesed and rachamim, of mercy and kindness. What's the mercy and kindness? That means that even though Adam sinned and failed to recognize that unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem did not pull the trigger and execute him forever and throw him out forever. Rather, he said, okay, you brought a new reality into existence. I'm now going to allow you the opportunity to reveal my yichud in the new world that you created. The purpose of creation remained the same. It's not going to be in Gan Eden, where the trees reached out their branches and offered Adam and Eve food and whatever it was. It's not going to be in that open, explicit way. It's now in a further concealed way. Now we got to go uncover that. It's going to be in a world of, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread. It's going to be in the world where we're going to be forced day in and day out with thousands and thousands of ethical and moral challenges to the Yichud Hashem. But ultimately, we still get to keep the ultimate purpose of creation. That is, what am I doing here? I'm here to reveal the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And therefore, our judgment and Adam's judgment is one and the same. Adam was judged and saying, okay, you are going to work now in a new world you created, and commensurate with what you did, that's going to be the given work. And we are done the same thing. Hashem says to us, okay, here's what you did last year. Here were there, you were given 1.6 million ethical moral choices over the past year. You succeeded in this and this number of ethical moral choices to bring my Yichud Hashem into the world. Okay, based upon that, here is going to be the next set of opportunities you will be given based upon your past track record to bring about Yichud Hashem. Just like Adam was given a new set of circumstances within which to create Yichud Hashem, every one of us is given on Rosh Hashanah a new set of circumstances within which to reveal the Yichud Hashem. And that's what we pray for on Rosh Hashanah. Malaycha kol olam kula Hashem, give us the opportunity to coronate you, to reveal your Malchus within the borders of our choices.
Does it matter if you are the only person cognizant of that? You may have had the switch to recognize that you were given a choice and you made the right choice, and no one else in the world has any clue that you did that.
Makes no difference. That's what he said yesterday. The difficulty of this is there's no big ping that goes out like when you win on one of those game shows. Like ping, there's a ping, like, you know, you did right.
No Twitter.
There are no pings.
But that's a illusory type.
100%. Forget it. It's exactly.
Everybody,
it is taking
from
place.
Every generation is watching. Every heaven above is understanding what you did.
Anything written about what? I'm thinking of this as like one of those choose your own adventure books that the kids read, where they get to a point and then they can choose to go this way or that way, and then they turn to a certain page. Is there anything written about how the story would have played out had?
Oh yeah, sure. There absolutely is.
So what was
it says it explicitly that Adam and Eve, what would have been the tachlis and so on had he gone into Shabbos?
That?
Yeah. I would just want to finish up his thought here, so tomorrow we could move on to the next thing. So he says like this. Listen very careful. Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. We read in the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah. Return Yisrael all the way to Hashem your God. Comes Reb Levi and says, Shuvah is so great that it reaches all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, to the throne of glory. He says, what does that mean? So he says like this. What? You got to first look at what we're doing Shuvah for. Right? Tshuva helps. What are we doing tshuva for? Chet, says Reb Chaim Friedlander, is defined when we think that there is any other operator, orchestrator, doer, maker, other than the Almighty, and that we look to them for any solution or actual change, that they are somehow, whether it's our own industry, our hard work, whatever it is, all those things are illusions. Tshuva, by definition, means going back to the reality that there is only one maker, one creator, one helper, one form of reality. There in the pasuk it says, "Asher lo yishienu," the might, the powers of the superpowers of the world ain't gonna help. Also, Slaynerka of the, you know, again, this is, you got to put it into modern terms. The mighty horses are not going to get you to your destination. We're not going to look to them for success. It's not the Patriot missiles. It's not the nuclear powers. We are going to stop referring to creations of human industry as our gods. I mean, this is like, hello, as relevant as you could get. Meaning we are going to stop worshiping human industry, our own power. Rather, we are going to come back to that the yichud is that it is all in the Almighty's hands. He is the only orchestrator. He is the only one who is creating. And that the only meaningful moments in life are the moments that we are involved in the challenge of choosing correctly when faced with the thought that it's me, my doing, my industry, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every ethical moral choice will always be based upon, okay, who's really making it happen here? Now, therefore, going back to the three levels we discussed yesterday, right? We discussed the Beinoni and the Tzaddik and so on. It's got to start with what we call Kvishas HaYetzer. We got to start with those things, the desires, the lusts, the wants, the fears, all those things that are forbidden by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where we got to start. We got to enter at recognizing the areas of life where we're completely and totally off, where we're outside of the realm of kosher choice. And we have to remember that every tiny, this is what we discussed on Shabbos, that every tiny victory, every time we overcome the smallest challenge, is an incredible victory in revealing Hashem's mastery over the world. We can't dismiss, you know, we're all looking to the biographies for the big ones. It's not about the big ones. It's about the tens of thousands of small victories that we have each and every day. And that's where the reality of Hamlochas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu over us, really takes place. It's in the myriads of choices that we make each and every day of screaming, HaMelech, He is the King, and I'm going to abide by His word, even though I don't want to, I want to do something else. My Yetzirah is alive and well, he's thriving, he's healthy. You know, I got a Yetzirah on steroids, and nonetheless, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make the ethical and moral choices. And that's where Malchus Shemayim starts. That's where the concept of Malchus really takes place. So, you know, it can take place thousands of times each and every day with the smallest choices. Am I going to bottle now? Am I going to learn now? Am I going to look at something I shouldn't be looking at? Am I going to refrain from doing that? Am I going to do the mitzvah that is incumbent upon me right now? Am I going to take the easy out? All of it is a effort of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and revealing, as the final pasuk in Malchus is, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's where the action really is.